My dearly beloved in Christ, this gospel for the last Sunday of the liturgical year, of course, next Sunday we begin Advent, the beginning of a new liturgical year. So on this last Sunday of the year, we read the gospel regarding the end of the world. And there are two predictions by our Lord in today's gospel. One deals with the destruction of the temple and of the city of Jerusalem, which took place under the Romans about 40 years after this prophecy of our Lord. And the other things in the gospel pertain to the end of the world, the end of time, the second coming of Christ, the general judgment. And we might ask ourselves the question, well, why does Holy Mother Church have us read this gospel every year? In fact, not only this gospel, but next Sunday, we have much the same, although not as much detail, not as long. But the gospel for next Sunday is also on the end of the world. So why does Holy Mother Church put it here? It's obviously very important in the mind of the church for us to be aware of these facts, even though, very likely, many of us, and maybe none of us, will be present at the end of the world, will be alive when the world ends. It could be, again, that none of us are alive on that last day, when the stars will fall from heaven, and the sun and moon will not give their light, and the powers of heaven will be shaken, the earth will be consumed with fire, and the angels will sound a trumpet. As our Lord says, there will be a great sound, and the bodies of all of those who have ever lived will rise from the dead, be reunited to their souls, and all mankind will be gathered together in one place. According to the prophecy of Joel in the Old Testament, in the Valley of Josaphat, which is right outside Jerusalem. So all mankind will be gathered together for judgment. So I get back to my question, why does Holy Mother Church have us read this gospel every year? Even though, think of all the Catholics down through the centuries who have not been alive at that time. The reason is, of course, for those who are alive, that they will see the signs when that time comes, but also because it is very important that God's providence, that his plan, that his order be recognized by men. In other words, from the beginning of creation, the creation of the angels, the creation of Adam and Eve and of the vast universe, and then we have the fall of the angels and the fall of Adam and Eve, and the history of the Old Testament for some 4,000 years, then the coming of the promised Redeemer into the world, and now 2,000 years and counting since he came into the world. How much more time will there be? We do not know. One thing we do know, according to the fathers of the church, is that the end of the world will not come until three events take place. One of those, according to prophecy, is that the gospel must be preached throughout the world. The faith must be spread throughout the entire world. And we could say that that has been fulfilled. The second condition is the conversion of the Jewish people. Not just individuals converted, but en masse. The Jewish people will recognize Christ as their promised Messiah, the true Redeemer, and be converted to the Catholic religion. That has not taken place. And the third condition, which also has not taken place, is the coming of the Antichrist into the world, that man of sin who will be worshipped by the vast majority of mankind, nearly all of mankind, as though he were God, and who will be accepted as the Messiah. So that also has not taken place. So how much longer will it be until the end of the world? We have no idea. It could be, as I said earlier, that none of us is alive in the world when the end of time comes. And it could be that we're all alive. It could happen at any time. These various signs and the fulfillment of these prophecies. So we do not know. Our Lord himself said, not even the angels in heaven know when that time will come. But as I said, it is important in God's plan that there be this conclusion. And all men will be gathered together for the judgment and will be compelled to acknowledge the perfect justice of Almighty God, that he is perfectly fair, perfectly just in all of his judgments. Everyone will be compelled to acknowledge, God gave me sufficient grace to save my soul. The elect, those who cooperated with grace and achieved their salvation, will say that with great joy. The damned will dread and tremble the sight of our Lord coming on the clouds of heaven with the angels to render judgment. They will call upon the mountains to fall upon them and hide them from the face of our Lord. And to them he will say, depart from me, you cursed ones. And on that last day, the judge will separate the good from the bad. So we have all of these different prophecies. And it is interesting to see, because there are a number of different places in Scripture where the general judgment, the end of the world, is predicted. There have been times since the time of Christ when people believed that the end of the world was right around the corner. And especially because of maybe civil unrest or revolutions or heresies and trials for the church. In fact, if you read in St. Paul to the Thessalonians, it seemed that he believed the time was short and that the end of the world would come soon. Also, we have the time of the Great Western Schism, what is called the Western Schism, which began in 1378 and lasted for 40 years. And during that time, there was such confusion and such division that there were two men that claimed to be Pope, one in Rome and one in southern France, in Avignon. And this terrible trial for the church lasted again for 40 years, where Christians were divided. They didn't know for sure who was the true Pope. And then there was a council held at Pisa in Italy, and they elected a third man. And now there was even more confusion. But God was not unfaithful to his promise to help his church. And he raised up great saints during that time of trial. And one of them was Saint Vincent Ferrer, an extraordinary saint from Spain. I think he was born in 1350. And he, as a priest, a Dominican priest, traveled throughout Europe. And it's fascinating to read his life. They would build a stage, an elevated platform in the city square, because the people that wanted to hear him preach couldn't fit into the churches or the cathedral. So he would stand on this elevated platform and preach sometimes to 10,000 people. Now that is in the days before they had amplification. And yet the people who were the farthest in the crowd could hear him as though they were right in front of him. Plus, the gift of tongues, people understood what he was saying, even though he was from Spain and he traveled to France and Italy and Germany, even into England and Ireland, all over Europe. And his preaching was met with incredible, incredible success. People who were converted and changed their lives. Some people would follow him from one town to another just to hear the next sermon, the next mission in the next city. And St. Vincent Ferrer was also gifted with the ability to work miracles. He worked incredible miracles. But one of the interesting ones, and why I bring him up, is because he really believed that the end of the world was at hand. This is around 1400. just because of the calamities going on at that time, the problems in society and this division in the church. And on one occasion, he said in a sermon, "I am the angel of judgment that St. John mentions in the Apocalypse." And at that sermon, there were some doctors of theology present, and they thought, this doesn't sounds a little bit daring and prideful and boasting. But some of them said, maybe it's even blasphemous. And so there was this murmuring. And he said, he repeated it. And he told the men, "Go to a certain gate in the city, and you will find the body of a dead woman, and bring her here." And they did. And he raised the woman to life. And then he asked her, "Am I the angel of the judgment?" And she said, "Yes, you are the angel of judgment." He really believed the end of the world was at hand, and that he was the one announcing the end of time because of all these problems. So there have been many cases like that in the course of history where even saints believed that the end of the world was at hand. But it would seem to me, we have not seen, as I said, the conversion of the Jews. We have not seen the coming of Antichrist, and it could yet be many years. But one thing we know for sure is that our own end of the world will be when God calls us out of life. And that could be any day. It could be at any time. And as the saying goes, "Be ye always ready," said our Lord. "For an hour that you least expect it, the Son of Man will come for you." We should live every day as though it were going to be our last day on this earth. Live in the grace of God. Be faithful to his commandments. And look forward to that eternity with him. But reflecting upon these amazing predictions by our Lord of what will take place at the end of the world, it reminds us also that this world is not our home. It is a temporary place. It will be destroyed. It will be consumed with fire. It will be changed. And that eternity is what God created us for. Let us live every day for eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.